Well, we have a wonderful opportunity today to hear how God's story is being written in the lives of Ann and Stephen Sickle, and in Costa Rica, and in Panama, and in Central America, as they work with the Nazarene Church on the work and witness teams, and coordinating with the local churches that send teams to go in and do various activities. And you're going to hear about some of those things. And when we think about the meta-narrative of God, as we're looking at the Bible as one story, and His is one story to redeem, restore, and recreate His people. With Stephen and Ann coming here, I just thought, well, every time that Ann comes back, I think about all the touches in her story that were through this church. And because it was through this church, because her parents made the decision to honor Jesus Christ in their daily life, to make a commitment to personal growth, to pray. And Stephen's story became part of our story when he captured the heart of Ann, and Ann captured his heart. And you're going to see that as they share with us today. And we just thank God for them. Let's pray right before they come and share with us. Father, we thank you that you are continuing to write your love within the hearts of people. And we're here today thanking you because we have embraced it. We have seen it. Your love has been demonstrated to us. But also, Lord, your love compels us because there are some that haven't heard. There are some that have heard that remain skeptical. And there are some that right now are just outright defiant to your love. And you are going to even break down those barriers. I thank you for how your love compels us, transforms us, renews us, how you make the rough places smooth, how you do your work when man couldn't do anything. Father, we need you. We love you. Thank you for being there, and we thank you for the opportunity this church has had to come alongside and to pray for Ann and Stephen, and also to support them through our faith promise giving. Lord, give us ears to hear and speak to our hearts as they come and speak to us about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Am I on? Or do I need to do anything? Work your magic. Okay. We are so excited to be here. I have been really looking forward to sharing with you guys for a long time now, and it's always such a pleasure to be back home. This is still kind of home for me, so it's so nice to look out and see all of your faces that are so familiar, and it really is an incredible pleasure to be able to come back and share with you some of the things that God has been doing in our lives in the last couple of years. But I want to start out by just saying thank you to you, because it is this church family, my church family, that I know has been so faithful to pray for us and to support us. We get emails, and we hear from mom that people are asking about us, and we are so grateful for your faithful support for our ministry and for us as individuals and for our family. So I just want to say, before we say anything else, thank you so much for your faithfulness and in blessing me and helping me grow into the person that I am now, and hopefully grow into the person that I'm going to be too eventually. We are, I think pretty much everybody in this room is pretty familiar with who we are, but I'm going to do a little refresher. We are missionaries in Central America. We work in Costa Rica and Panama. And we, like Pastor David said, our job is to run mission trips full time. So we get to work with two really cool groups of people. The first group of people is local leaders and pastors, people with dreams. They want to build a school or a clinic, or they need to expand their sanctuary because they don't all fit in it anymore, or whatever it is, they're dreaming about where God is taking them. And then we get to work with people, groups of people, usually from the States or from Canada, but they can be from anywhere, that want to come alongside those churches and work beside them to bring those dreams into reality. And so we get to be that connect connecting point between those two groups of people that are seeking to do what God is calling them to do, which means we get to work with some really amazing visionary folks, and it is an incredible blessing. We are so amazed every day that God has chosen us to do this job, because it's bigger than anything that we could have imagined for ourselves. Do you have the clicker? Guess you're in charge, huh? Nice.
Glad she finally recognizes that.
Nice.
You're all witnesses, just saying.
Our biggest project, though, this year, biggest project was not a building, even though we worked on a lot of different building projects. Our biggest project was Micah. We're pretty proud parents. He was born in Costa Rica in August, so he's a dual citizen. We think that's pretty neat. He is our little work and witness baby. Our ministry is called Work and Witness, and so Mike is a work and witness baby. He gets his diaper changed on the back of the truck, and he takes his naps in the hammock. If we're Facebook friends, you've seen a lot of pictures that I'm going to use today, so just pretend like you haven't seen them yet. Moving on, Stephen, thank you.
The last time we were here, we had the, when we shared with you, you all helped us raise money for a truck. So this is a picture of the truck that we use, and it is, if you all work with tools, you know that sometimes your work is so much easier if you have just the right tool. And this truck for us is just the right tool. It helps us to carry heavy loads, and as well as get to the places we need. It's a 4x4, and it gets us in the mud and out of the mud, so that's always nice. But so we thank you for that, and thank you for helping us as we've been able to use this truck. We also want to share with you just a little bit about Costa Rica. Costa Rica has lots of volcanoes and beaches, and it's very touristy. It's a very beautiful place. We have one of the most beautiful offices in the world, and so we really enjoy working there, and that's where we live. But we also work in Panama. So Panama is this interesting country that has it's this metropolitan area that, because of the canal, there's a lot of the financial district in Panama City is huge. There's a lot of money in Panama City, but it also creates a lot of challenges, because in Panama City it's this big modern city where they're in the middle of building a subway system, and it's just this big booming city because of the canal. But outside of the city, there's this it's all the support workers, all the people that go into the city and help work. That all the poorer people live just outside of the city, and then outside of that is your normal kind of Central American towns. But then outside of that is your indigenous villages, and so it creates an interesting challenge for us as we work, because when we're in the city, we have a lot of permits and a lot of building codes and that kind of thing, where it's hard to work. But then when we get out to the indigenous villages, we have to ask the chief of the village for permission, and then they go to their little council meetings, and then do a little dance, and if they do a little dance the right way, then we get permission to build, and then it's just this kind of interesting...
There is no dance.
It could be.
this is all news to me, this
I've
whole
been
dance
there.
Thing.
I've been there.
Stephen doesn't usually do this part, so this is like the Stephen interpretation.
You don't have to tell our secrets.
So we're doing a little dance.
All right, no, we're moving on.
We're moving on.
Now Anne's going to share with you.
We might need a little counseling after this is all. I want to share a little bit about kind of the process that we went through to get to Costa Rica, because we are not pastors, we're not evangelists, we are lay people still. We are missionaries, but we are not ordained. And it has been it's a story that only God can write when he takes you to where he's heading. My dreams for myself were so much smaller than the dreams that God had for me. I have an English degree and a history degree. So I was thinking, you know, I want to be Mrs. Watson. I want to, you know, my goal in life is to be Laura Watson. And if I can do that, then I have been successful. And And so that was kind of the picture I had for my life. And Stephen and I both spent some time during college. We spent some time out of the country. And when I came back from Romania, I thought, oh, well, it would be really neat to work for a little while outside the country after, you know, after Stephen and I get married. And so we already planned, even before we got married, we said, we're going to go volunteer somewhere for a year. We just kind of chose this number out of thin air. I don't really know where we came up with a year, but we're going to go for a year. And so we started asking around and trying to figure out where that was going to be. And through a whole series of events, we talked to somebody who said, well, why don't you come to Costa Rica? And we thought, but why would we do that? We don't speak Spanish. we are not qualified for that at all. And I came back a lot of times to one of my favorite scriptures in 2 Corinthians, which is 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, where it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, I spent a lot of time in the weeks leading up to Costa Rica. I didn't tell people this, Stephen knew, but nobody else really knew. I spent a lot of time crying because I thought, we are going to fail. This is going to be really bad, and I'm going to be right in the middle of it. And I pride myself in my ability to communicate. I feel like I can do that well in English. And I thought, I'm going to go to a place where I can't say anything. Really, the only thing I have to offer the world will be cut off from me. And what will I really have to offer? What will I do? And I prayed a lot, and I cried a lot, and I said, God, you have really screwed it up this time. You really, man, I don't know what you're smoking up there, but it's not good.
And can you say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can. I don't usually do this part, so this is Stephen's little adventure, too. And, you know, we went to Costa Rica, and when we were there, it was really hard. And I'm not going to lie about that part, because it's not easy to not be able to communicate. But a lot of times, I came back to this, and I said, his power is made perfect in my weakness. And I have a lot of weaknesses, a whole lot of weaknesses, and they are all out there for everybody to see. There is no hiding it now. And yet God promised that when I am weak, that his grace is going to be sufficient for me, and that his power is made perfect in weakness. And slowly, we started to see that God could use us. And, I mean, we learned the language, and we worked really hard at that. And there were a lot of struggles and mistakes, and we got laughed at. We still get laughed at a lot. But it is so easy to say, you know, if there's any success, if there is any good thing coming from the work that we do, it's not because we are any good. It's not because we were so well qualified for this job. And it's not because we know how it's supposed to go. We are painfully aware of our weaknesses, and yet we serve a God who is all-powerful. He is all-capable. And what he asks from me is that I be a tool, a willing tool in his hand, that I would say yes to him, to whatever he asks me to do, that I would say yes. We use the scripture a lot, and we're going to talk about this through several different stories. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. God doesn't ask me to be perfect. He doesn't ask me to be qualified. He asks me to be willing and to offer my body as a living sacrifice. That every day I go to work, every email I write, every conversation I have, every group that we lead, that we would offer every breath as a sacrifice to our God who is worthy, of that. And it really has transformed our faith, our perspective on our role in the kingdom, because God has given us a chance to work in his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? God could do it all if he wanted to, and yet he chooses to allow us to have a part. We are so weak. The scripture calls us jars of clay, and I think maybe not everybody is aware of their weaknesses as much as I am, but God says, it doesn't matter to me that you're weak because I choose to use you. I have chosen you, and I love you, and you are my beloved, and I will use you if you offer your body as a living sacrifice. And so that's what I want to do, and that's what our time and our work in Central America really means to me as an individual. We're going to talk a lot about some of the stories and some of the testimonies of what we've gotten to see, but as far as me as an individual, it means that God is willing to use me. As weak and insignificant as I am, my all-powerful God chose to use me, and wow, what an incredible blessing. All I can say is thank you, Lord, and yes, I will do whatever you ask me to do, and I will go wherever you ask me to go, if that's what you ask me to do.
Okay. All right, I want to share with you a little bit about a few stories that we have from Costa Rica and Panama. And I want you to think of these not as stories from afar, the missionaries' tales of what's going on in these foreign exotic lands, but more as a report of what your brothers and sisters in this church universal, in this church that we all belong to, in this body of Christ, this is what's happening in your brothers and sisters that just may happen to talk a little bit different and live in a warmer, much warmer climate. But the first one is in Tocumen. And as I start with the Tocumen church, I want you to remember and kind of look through Romans 12 as it talks about the living sacrifice. To be a living sacrifice, that's not just something you say, okay, God, I'm gonna show up and, you know, go ahead and sacrifice me whenever you want to. Go ahead and, you know, God, I'm gonna let you use me however you want to, and I'll just sit here and wait for you to kind of cue me in. No, to be a sacrifice or to be a living sacrifice, you have to be willing and want to go and do something intentional. To offer yourself as a living sacrifice, you have to step up and say, God, I'm willing. And this church in Tocumen, Panama, this church is just outside of the city. And it's in one of those areas that the people in this church, they go into the city and they're the workers, they're the working class. And this church is a small church. It's been there for a number of years, about 30, 40 years. And they've just existed. They've existed. They've had about 30 people that include about two or three families. And they've come to church every Sunday and Wednesday night, and they're just there. They have their Bible study, and then they go home. Well, a few years ago, they got a new pastor. That's not the pastor, that's a building. They got a new pastor, and her name was Suleika. And Pastor Suleika, she said, okay, guys, we're just maintaining, we're just existing. We need to step up and do something. Well, what can we do? And so as they asked this question, how can we serve? How can we do something? She said, well, let's go out and let's ask. Let's ask the people in the community, what can we do? And so they went around and they knocked on the doors of the people in the community and they asked them, what is the need here? How can we serve you? And so if you had somebody come to your door and ask you that, you know, what do you think? What is your response of them asking, how can I help you? You tell them your need and then you expect something of them. Unless it's just a survey. So if it's a church coming to you and saying, what can we, you know, how can we help you? What is your need? You kind of expect them to come back with something. So this community expected them, okay, not just to write down, okay, we need this, but to come back and say, okay, we're going to help you in this way. So as this church, as they went out and asked, what can we do? How can we help you? The need that was shared was, we need a school. And so this church said, all right, we can provide a school. And so they started off with a kindergarten. And the schools in this area are overcrowded, and it's just a bad situation for the schools. And so the school said, all right, we can provide a kindergarten. And as they provided this kindergarten, they had a huge response. They had 20 kids in this small church. And so as they had 20 kids, and the next year they had 30 kids, and in a couple years they said, okay, we need more space. And so as they decided, all right, we need more space, they said, God, help us. God, we need more space because we've responded to your call, and this is kind of your doing, so we need your help to kind of fulfill what we're doing here. And so God provided. God provided resources to help build these classrooms. And these classrooms, these three classrooms represent God's faithfulness, that God responded to them asking for help. They had some money to start the foundation, but then people started giving money. People started pouring in money, and they built this with that faith of, okay, God's going to respond and God's going to provide. Well, as they continued, they realized these kids are hungry. And so part of the ministry that we're a part of, we're able to help build things. And so God responded through us and helped build this kitchen so that they can feed those kids, so that they can continue to meet more needs in this community. And this church has realized, okay, not through our strength, but through God's strength, we can meet the needs and we can be what God wants us to be in this community. We can offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and God will respond through us. Another picture of the kitchen.
We want to tell you another testimony, and this is from Setapaqui, Costa Rica. So this is north of the city, almost to the Nicaragua border in the center of the country, and it's flat. And there are a lot of banana plantations in this area. So Dole banana, Chiquita banana, there's a good chance that some of the bananas you eat are from this area in Costa Rica. And it rains a lot here. That's why they have these plantations. So between a little more than 200 inches of rain a year, between 2 and 250 inches of rain. And
no, we can't ship that up here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we have, interspersed in these plantations are these small communities, and they're the workers, and they're not very big, 300 or 400 people maybe, and there are dirt roads to connect them. It's kind of hard to get out to all these communities, and it's not really that far from a larger town, but most of the people in these communities don't have their own transportation, so they don't have a motorcycle or a car, and there's a bus that goes by once a day if the roads aren't too bad and muddy. So it's hard for them to get in to go to church. So the district decided that we need to plant some churches out in these communities. And so they connected with a guy named Pastor Franklin and his wife, Yolanda, and their son, Wesley. And these guys are full-time church planters for the Church of the Nazarene. So their job is to go in, they meet people, they start a Bible study, they begin services with the goal of raising up leaders, planting a fully functioning, self-sufficient church, and then moving on to the next place. And they're really good at this. They have 8 missions that they're working with right now. So they go to a different community every day, and one day they go to 2 different places. So they are really, really busy in the work of the Lord. And they were living in a house that was rented by the district. Just by the nature of what they do, they're always working with really tiny groups of people, so they're not supported that much by the people that they work with. So 2 years ago, they were doing this work and very excited about it. And they got a call from the folks in the district. And they said, we are really sorry, but the money that we were using to rent your house is no longer available. the end. Like, that's as far as that conversation went. And these guys are from Nicaragua, so they are unofficial missionaries to Costa Rica. Their family doesn't live close to them. The typical response in this area would be, I'm going to move in with my parents or my aunt and uncle or my cousin, but they don't have any of that support system close to them. And these two are very interesting because they feel not a general call to missions. They feel God has called them very, very specifically to this area in Costa Rica. And they told us, if we left Serapequí before God releases us, it would be in direct disobedience to the call that he has placed on our lives. And so they were in a bit of a pickle because they had nowhere to live, and yet God had not released them. And so what they did was they said, we're going to move in behind the church, which sounds like a reasonable plan until you realize that that is the church, and that's the good side. Behind the church was basically just an extension of the roof over a flat-ish piece of dirt. And so they and the folks in the church constructed this shanty, essentially. And again, this is kind of the good side. You see the tin on this side. The other side is plastic. The green bench on the right is kind of the kitchen area. And this is where they lived for well over a year. And keep in mind that these folks were in a house, not a big fancy house by any means, but they were in a house. And they moved into that with their little boy, who was 3 at the time. And there were dirt floors, and so it was rainy and muddy all the time. And Yolanda really likes things to be clean, so she spent a lot of time trying to sweep the mud off the dirt, which is kind of a losing battle. And they had one bed, and so Yolanda and Wesley slept on the bed, and Pastor Franklin slept on the floor. And these people are not complainers. And so a lot of folks didn't realize what was happening to them, because they said, if this is what God calls us to, this is what we will do. They are very, very living examples of Romans chapter 12, where it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And you know, if I had been in that circumstance, I think my conversation with God would have been something like, why have you forgotten me in a banana plantation? Why did you call me here and then forget about all the things that I needed? And it's not just me, it's my little boy. Why would you make my little boy live in the mud and drink water from a well that's a little too shallow, and so sometimes we get sick? And why would you do this to me, God? Because I work full-time for you, and I have committed my life to you, and you dropped the ball. You didn't keep your side of the bargain. That would have been my conversation, unfortunately. But that's not what they did. Because they, every time we talked to them, they said, it's hard, but God has called us here. And so he's in control. We know he's in control. You know, there's a scripture, I believe it's in Isaiah, I should have looked it up, that says that God has written our names in the palm of his hand. We are so in front of him that every time he reaches his hands, he sees our names. He couldn't forget us, even in a banana plantation. And I have my theories as to why God asked them to do this. And one of them is the church in Costa Rica, especially in this district, has been rather stagnant. There hasn't been a lot of movement. And yet, when they started to hear what was happening in this area, they said things like, well, we don't have a lot, but we can rustle up an extra bed at least, and we can get you one more bed so everybody can sleep in a bed. And so they did that. And then another church said, well, we don't have a lot either, but we could buy a couple bags of concrete so we could pour you a floor. I mean, we don't have much, but we could do that much. And it was an electrical impulse through the churches in the district when they realized there isn't some hazy need somewhere else. There is a very specific need that is only an hour away. And this family is living in the mud, and we can do something about it. And so the church started to move out of their walls. And missionaries like us, we became incredibly convicted by what this pastor was willing to do. Because, you know, on a really bad day, it's very easy to say, I have sacrificed a lot for God. I am out here suffering for the Lord in my very comfortable house. And how humbling is it to see a pastor living like that and say, forgive me, God, for my pride, and thinking that I deserve anything from you. I want to offer my body as a living sacrifice, completely, without any expectation that God owes me anything. He purchased me. He bought me from hell. He doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything. And that's how I want to live my life. How often I forget that, but that's the faith that I want to have. And God still knows what we need. And he knew that Pastor Franklin and Yolanda needed a house, but he asked them for this time to be willing to live like this. And I think partially because he knew the testimony that the people around them needed to hear. He knew the conviction that everybody else needed by seeing them live like that in such a humble, willing way. We were able to go in. One of the biggest honors of our ministry, I think, was to be able to go in with a team this summer and build their house. And this is an in-process picture. There are doors and windows in it now, but it's kind of hard to get a picture from this area, too. You can't really just ask them to email it to you. But this is still not a mansion by any stretch, but it's two bedrooms. It's got a little bathroom, and the left side is like a combined kitchen and living area, and it's got a patio on the front and the back. And Yolanda is so proud of it. When we were there, she was like, and this is where we're going to put Wesley's bed, and then we're going to paint this red, and then we're going to do this. And she is just pumped that God has answered her prayer and given her a house so that they have a place where they can minister from and come back home and sleep and be comfortable and be safe. God knows what we need. He doesn't abandon us. He never forgets us. But sometimes he asks us to do difficult things. And he has a bigger plan, even though a lot of times it's not easy to see when we're in the middle of it. It's not easy to see. But God always has a plan, and God never forgets us.
All right, I want to share with you one more story. This is a church in northern Costa Rica that's called La Finca. And the La Finca means the farm. And the phrase underneath the sign is La Oración Cambia Las Cosas, which means that prayer changes things. This is the statement or the motto. Church lives by, the motto or the fight song. This isn't just something that the board came up with and said, all right, this is what we're going to put on our letterhead. This is how they live. this is Pastor Johnny. Johnny's all the district superintendent as well as the pastor. But about 15 years ago, God called Johnny. And God said to Johnny, Johnny, your church, they need to do something. You need to grow the kingdom of God, and it's going to start from Costa Rica. It's going to start from your town in San Pedro, Costa Rica, and you're going to grow the kingdom from there. And, you know, of course, God didn't give all the details of how he's going to do that. So they had to pray. And through this, they had prayer meetings. And Pastor, Johnny told us, he said, you know, people have all the excuses of why they can't come to prayer meeting, right? No, but nobody has an excuse at 4 a.m. in the morning. Nobody has anything going on at 4 a.m. So they had their prayer meeting at 4 a.m. Every week. And through that, through praying and fasting, God gave them a vision. God gave them the part of the plan of how they're going to grow the kingdom. And God said, all right, discipleship. you need to grow the kingdom of God. You need to grow starting with discipleship. As the people know more about God, as the people know more about the Bible, as they can become stronger Christians, then we can move on. And so they did that. And through that, they multiplied. Through that, more people came. And wow, before they knew it, they didn't have any more space. Okay, great. That's a good problem to have, except for they didn't have any room to expand in town. So then they decided, okay, well, we need to look for more property. We need to look, we need to find a place that we can expand. And so they did that. They went out and they found this piece of property, and they went and visited with the board and with the church. And wow, God was just making it clear that this is the property. Well, the problem was that the property then cost $200,000. And this is a community of workers that make about $1.50 an hour picking coffee, cutting sugar cane, growing little flowers and ferns. This is a community that people don't make a whole lot of money. And so $200,000 just seemed this huge amount. Well, but God was saying, this is where we need to go. Well, when they did the math on the loans, they realized that the monthly payment for this property was more than the income of the church every month. And so, again, just, wow, this is huge. How can we do this? And so a guy from the board went out and he grabbed the for sale sign and he said, "Pastor Johnny, this is what God is calling us to do." And so he put the for sale sign on his desk and they moved forward and they purchased the land. They got one donation through the church and it was about $20,000, which is a great donation and very much appreciated, but they still had $180,000 to pay off. So on came the bake sales, on came the soccer tournaments where they raised money. People had garage sales. People did what they could to raise money for this property. This is part of the vision. This is a styrofoam model that they made to scale of the property. They also made a cake the same size, and they cut it up, and they passed it out, and they said, "All right, take, eat this piece of cake. Now the vision is in you." All right. And it was chocolate, so it tasted good, too. During this time of paying the property off, they moved out to the property and they met under this shelter. They met under this garage with the roof extended out, and you could fit about 150 people uncomfortably under this roof. And this is where they met for 5 years while they paid this property off. They paid this property off in 5 years. Mm-hmm. They were not late 1 month. As well, they thought it was important. I'm not sure why, but they thought it was important to pay the pastor, so they were able to cover that expense as well. They paid all the other things that they were responsible for. God provided because they were willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Johnny told me that, you know, there was one time that the payment was due that day, and they didn't have a dollar in the bank. And they didn't know where the money was going to come from. So Johnny called a good friend and a board member and said, "Hey," or wanted to talk to him about this problem. And the guy answered the phone and said, "Hey, I can't talk right now," and hung up. Johnny wasn't exactly happy with that. But later that afternoon, this guy came and he said, "Hey, when you called, I was in the bank." And in Costa Rica, you can't talk on the cell phone when you're in the bank. And he said, "God told me to withdraw my savings account, to empty my savings account to cover this payment." And so they made that payment that month because people were listening to God and being faithful. A year ago, they paid off the property in 5 years. And then now it was time to start building. Well, as they started building, we got to the point where they had the roof up on this section of the project. And they realized, well, this section of roof is bigger than our other section of roof, so we'll move over there. So a year ago, they moved over. And now, today, they're meeting in this area, and they have over 300 people. Mm-hmm. They have over 300 people. They've doubled in size in a year as they've continued to grow. But the testimony, the neat thing about this church isn't because they doubled in size and so they're growing God's kingdom in this place. They're also planting churches. They have 5 church plants that they're supporting financially. They're supporting with leadership. The youth group is going out and having soccer tournaments, having Jesus film events, and they're going out and they're growing God's kingdom by multiplying their congregations. In Romans chapter 12, I want to read again that verse. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and His perfect will." As this church in Costa Rica received this vision from God saying, I want you to grow the kingdom of God from this town. And they responded. They gave sacrificially. They lived sacrificially. God is transforming each person in this congregation. God has transformed this congregation. And through that, God is transforming this community, this town. And it's awesome to see how God is answering, how God is being faithful when we are willing to step up, when we are willing to be intentional in the ministry that God has called us to, that God has called you to. And it's neat because as we see the ministry in Concordia, as we hear about the things that are going on in Concordia, it's the same story as La Finca. Mm-hmm. That God, as you all are being intentional, and it takes that. It doesn't take just showing up on Sunday morning. It doesn't take showing up on Wednesday nights, but showing up at the workplace, showing up where you are, being faithful to the ministry that God has called you in your workplace, that God has called you where you meet people. The kingdom of God is growing in Concordia. Mm-hmm. And it's neat because we have that ability to see that here as well as in Costa Rica. So we, as Ann said, we are in a neat position because we get to see many, many sides of that. This project is a neat project. It's going to be twice as long as it is now to have a gym. As they grow and as this church in La Finca grows, they wanted to build a gym because they realized, okay, if we're going to build something large enough to house services, we want also to be able to use this space for outreach so they can have soccer in the middle of the week, so they can use this as a tool in the community. And through that, again, God is transforming this community.
We hope that as you hear these testimonies, as you hear our testimony and think about what God is doing, that you are encouraged, that you are energized by the Holy Spirit, because God is moving. And we know, like Stephen said, we know He's moving here in Concordia in the same way that He's moving at La Finca and Tocumen and in Serapiqui, because that's the way God works. We are all in His kingdom, right? And these are your brothers and sisters who are fighting the same battles that you're fighting. And one day, we're all going to get to stand before Jesus Christ shoulder to shoulder, and hopefully we will all hear Him say, you did really good, guys. You did really good. And these are the people, some of the people, that we're going to get to be beside when He tells us that. So we want to challenge you and encourage you to say yes to whatever God is calling you to. He's put you here intentionally. He has given you the friends that you have intentionally and the neighborhood that you have and the work that you have because He has a job for you to do. You're never too old. You're never too young to be doing what God has called you to do. And so we would challenge you and encourage you to say yes to whatever that is. As far as being a part of our ministry, we so appreciate you guys, and we would ask that you would continue to pray for us. There are a lot of things that we don't always know what the right answer is, and I know that's true for everybody, but if you would be willing to commit to continue to pray for us, we would really appreciate it, that we would be wise and that we would be humble and that we would do what God is calling us to do. We would be honored to have your prayers.
And we have little prayer magnets on the table in the back, and it has a new little picture with Micah, so you can put that on your fridge, and every time you're hungry and you see our picture, then that's also a good weight loss program. So
let me pray for us before, on that note. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the honor and the blessing that we have to serve in your kingdom. Thank you for being willing to use us in whatever form we are, that you would place us in your kingdom and give us a job to do. Help us to be willing to say yes to whatever you are calling us to do. God, we love you. In your name I pray, amen.
Dan and Stephen will be back at the table.